Father, we're thankful that we can come together as a family tonight. And that, Lord, that we have the honor and we have the privilege and we have access by the blood of Jesus Christ to the throne of grace. And tonight, Lord, we lift up the entire state of Oklahoma to you, especially, Lord, those in the city of Moore. That, Lord, somehow, some way, you are the God of more than enough comfort. And I know, Lord, you're already there in the midst of their pain and their suffering and their loss. And somehow, in some way, out of this tragedy, Lord, good is going to come. We look to you to bless them and help them. And we look to you tonight, Lord, with all that maybe the pain that might be in this chapel tonight, the hurt or whatever. Lord, you're with us as well. And we just thank you tonight, Lord, as we lift up all of those in our church body that have been ill and that are ill. And, Lord, for Jimmy and for Yolanda and Sherwin and, Lord, all the people, Steve, everybody that we're lifting up and just praying for. We just ask you to touch their bodies. And, Lord, be with us now. And help me tonight teach what you have given me. We ask it in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. God is so good tonight. I'm hearing something up here. There it goes. I'm sorry, I must be hearing things, amen? You know, we've been loving Leviticus, amen? Oh, I heard that. You know, what we're going to do tonight, instead of being in Leviticus, tonight I was actually going to cover the seven feasts of Israel. But I felt that the Lord would have me minister on a different subject tonight. So what I'm going to ask you to do, since we're not going to be in Leviticus, I want you to make sure you have a pen in your hand to take notes of Scripture. But not only that, I want you to just turn your Bibles and hold your place in Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, but just hold your place. I'll be there in about 30, 40 minutes, and we'll see what the Lord has for us. I'd like to read to you tonight, and listen carefully, some of the events that have happened in our nation in just the last 10 months. And I'll start with Friday, July 20th, 2012. Aurora, Colorado, that was the theater there where 58 people were shot and they had 12 deaths. Monday, October 29th, 2012, Hurricane Sandy hit, $75 billion in damages, and it was the second costliest hurricane in United States history. Friday, December 14th, 2012, I preached about this, the Sandy Hook Elementary shootings there in Newtown, Connecticut, by Adam Lanza, and of course the slaughter there of 20 children and 6 adults. And then Monday, April 15th, 2013, the Boston Marathon bombings, 3 dead, 264 injured. And then Wednesday, April 17th of this year, the West Fertilizer Plant, for 15 people died, 160 injured, and hundreds of homes completely damaged and so forth, and buildings. Wednesday, May 15th, 2013, the Hood County tornadoes there at Granbury and Cleburne, 13 to 16 tornadoes touched down on the ground, as you already know. Cleburne alone, it was an 8-mile path of the tornado there. 6 people died. And then Monday, May 20th of this year, this week, Moore, Oklahoma, the tornado, which was an F5, it was over a mile wide, traveled on the ground for over 40 minutes, reaching a distance of 17 miles. That's nearly from here to my house, and that's a long drive, okay? Unbelievable. About 24 dead at the last count, and over 240 injured. I'm going to ask you a question tonight, because I've heard this word over and over and over again on the news, and it's this: do you have a safe place in your home? In other words, a safe room. Have you heard that? Safe room. That's in other words, when the storms come and the tornadoes come or whatever. They said, a safe room is so important. I want to talk to you about a safe room tonight, if you don't mind. And I want to ask you a question. What do I want God to do when I am in trouble? When trouble comes into my life, what do I want God to do? Well, the Bible tells us, it gives us the answer. In Psalm 20, verse 1, you might want to write this down. It says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble, and may the name of God of Jacob defend you. You know, it's not that we don't expect trouble in our lives. Do you expect that we're going to have a trouble-free life? a pain-free life? No, that's not even biblical. That's not a biblical worldview. We're going to suffer persecution. Who knows what's going to come into our life? But my question is the same question that many of you who keep up with current events and the horrible situations that have been occurring in our nation, we ask ourselves, why does it seem that tragedy after tragedy, it seems to just strike our homeland? And not only that, the problems that we're having, how about the IRS scandal that's just, right now the White House is just rocking all that. And then if we just look back to last year, September 11th, 2012, the Benghazi attack there upon our embassy where four Americans died, along with our United States Ambassador Chris Stevens, just things that are happening all over the world. A year ago, not even a year ago, when we start seeing all these terrible things. The Bible says in Psalm 86:6, it says, "Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Attend to the voice of my supplications." Here it is. "In the day of my trouble, I fell apart." That's not what it's going to say. "In the day of my trouble, I fell away from the Lord." No. "In the day of my trouble," what did the psalmist do? He says this, "I will call upon you." And he tells us why. He says, "For you will answer me." Do you believe that when we are in the midst of trouble in our lives and we call upon God, do you think he answers us? Absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Listen, where do you turn now when trouble comes? Ask yourself that. Ask yourself tonight in your heart. Where do we really turn to when trouble comes? Over and over, like I opened with, the news is saying, every home and every school, speaking right now of Oklahoma, that every home there and every school should have some sort of safe room. And boy, I agree with that. If I lived in Oklahoma, and I wouldn't mind having a safe room here, amen? And so forth. But we hear that you must have shelter from the storm. And I just admired last night as I watched the news that teacher from Moore, Oklahoma, who went through this tornado there at the Plaza, I think it's the Plaza Towers Elementary School. The teacher, she took her kids when the tornado came, and she took her children, and she did exactly as she'd been trained to do. She took them into the hallway and said, "Grab your books and your backpacks and put them over your head." And she started looking at her children, the little fourth, fifth grader. I think it was third and fourth graders, actually. And she said, "This is not going to work." She said, "You come with me immediately." They ran into the bathroom, the restroom there. And she, if you saw the news, she said, "You get in the stalls right now and lay down." And it says that she just went over them. Amen. And this is what she said. She said, "I stood over them," meaning the children. "And I remember the little boy saying, 'I love you, Miss Crosswhite. And please don't let me die. Please don't let me die with you.'" He said, "We're not dying today. We're not dying today," she said. And here's what happens next. And then she told the reporter, she said, "And I did the teacher thing that we're probably not supposed to do. I prayed. And I prayed out loud. And I said, 'God, please don't take these kids today.'" May I say something to you? Now that's a woman I like. She said, "I did the thing they didn't want me to do. We can't mention God or the Bible or Jesus or pray." And I'll tell you why. Our educational system has taken the safe room out of our schools today. In other words, can you imagine not saying you can't pray to Jesus? What is wrong with this world? Listen, do you know what prayer does? I hope you prayed today. I hope that you are a person of prayer. If you're a Christian, we need to be. Amen? But you know what prayer does? Prayer assures us of the Lord's presence. Listen to this scripture in Psalm 145:18. It says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." Thank God we have the truth. His name is Jesus. And by Jesus Christ, we have access to the Holy of Holies. Amen. He says, "God will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them." Now, that doesn't mean that God fulfills every desire in our life, okay? Jonah desired for Nineveh to be destroyed by God, but that wasn't that. God said, no, that's not going to happen. David desired to build a home, a temple, a house for the Lord, and the Lord said, no, I'm going to build you a house, David. So God doesn't give us every desire, certainly, of our heart, but when we pray, he's so near. He's right there, amen? The Bible tells us, Or rather, this world has told us that, you know, man has a tenacity, or they're thinking, they love, man loves to build. You know, you start thinking of all the shelters that man has built today. Here's one of the biggest ones. How about those tax shelters? That's really something to run into, isn't it? You know, anybody need a tax shelter tonight? You know, but they've built tax shelters and storm shelters and bomb shelters and fallout shelters. And daily, the wisdom of the world is telling us every day what is best for you. Every talk show that's on TV is telling you this is what's best for you. This is what you need to eat, like Dr. Oz. If anyone did everything Dr. Oz did, they would probably die. Do you understand? You know? Nobody has, I mean, nobody in the world has that much wisdom, all right, except our Lord. But they tell us what's best for us, or how to prevent this, or how to stay safe. Do you have a safe room? You know, to find a safe room in this world is very difficult. You know why? Because the Bible says in 1 John 2:17 that this world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever, forever. Long after this old world system that we're living in is totally and completely gone. Let me say something to you tonight. We have a safe room, okay? And the world is designed to keep you out of your safe room. The world that we live in is designed to keep you away from your safe room. You see, the world, this temporal world that we live in that's passing away, it wants you, it wants me, it wants every Christian to find shelter in what is temporal. In other words, to find safety in the temporal. The world doesn't offer us anything. It has nothing to offer us. Amen? But boy, God has everything. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 39:4. It says, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you've made my days as handbreadths. You know, a handbreadth with the hand. And my age is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is just a vapor. And surely, every man walks like a shadow. And surely, they busy themselves in vain. They rush and they're so busy, building and rushing and rushing, and he heaps up treasures and does not know who will gather them. In other words, you work yourself to death to try to have something, and the next thing you know, you're gone, and they're taking and spending what you have. You know what I mean? Here's my advice. Spend it now. Amen? Let's not waste our life. Let's don't waste what God has given us. Let's invest in the things of God. You know, life is filled with trouble, but the Bible tells us that we have a safe room. That word that's been across the news, and that's why I started thinking, I tell you, I wouldn't mind having a safe room. I wouldn't mind having a shelter, but you know what? I don't, but I have a safe room. We have a room because we're Christians. And you know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 32:7, it says, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble, and you surround me with songs of deliverance. Surrounding me with songs of deliverance. Oh, the Bible says in Job, I think it's 35:10, it says, God who gives songs in the night. He sings over us, the Bible teaches us. Listen, God has a song for you. And God doesn't want you singing some old blue Monday song or whatnot. He wants you to sing the high praises of God. Amen? And psalmist has said in Psalm 61, and I'm quoting a lot of scripture, and I'm nearly to my text tonight. It says in Psalm 61:1, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. In other words, Lord, that word attend means, Lord, fill your heart with my prayer. One of my favorite scriptures. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter, a safe place. You have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter, that safe place. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Listen to me now. We have the greatest, safest place in all of the world. Amen. The Bible teaches us that God says, I want to be your safe place. You know, God says, I want you to be in my dwelling place, not just a weekend getaway. In other words, I'm talking about a safe place is a place where a person in their home, they have a safe place that they go. It's called an altar. It's a place where you go and you pray. Amen? Prayer is almost absent today. so many things steal it and so forth. When Jesus, I mean, when the psalmist said there, David said, you know that God is our rock. That word denotes safety and protection and provision. I'm going to trust in him. Jesus is my safe place tonight. Amen. Are you at Psalm 91 yet? Let's look at it together. It says, he who lives, he who remains, he who dwells, where? In the secret place of the Most High. Secret, not a secret to a secret from the world, but not a secret to us, okay? Oh, of the Most High God shall abide under, that word means ever so near, under the shadow of the Almighty. This is our safe room. Right here, the safest place in all the world is not a storm cellar. The safest place in all the world is under the shadow of El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, the God who, if he doesn't have it, he will make it for you. In other words, God, the self-existent one, the one who needs absolutely nothing because he possesses everything. And so the psalmist, what is he urging us to do? The psalmist is urging us to live someplace, to dwell. That means to live, to abide. He's saying this, abide. If you're going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty God, where do you need to abide? Where is that at? Well, God, of course, is everywhere, but it's talking about this secret place. It's talking about the Holy of Holies. See, this is prayer talk. It's talking about boldly going to the throne of grace where we, you know, in time of need, where we can find help and mercy and we can obtain it. Amen? That's what it's talking about, is praying, going to the Lord in prayer. But these promises that I'm about to read, they're not for all believers, but they're certainly available for all believers. We have this safe room. I'm going to ask you a question. Did you go to your safe room today? Sometime today. Normally, Christians usually pray the first when they wake up. In other words, they have their quiet time in the morning. That's when most people in the Bible have their quiet time in the morning. Early will I seek you, the Bible says. You know, today, isn't it easy to wake up in the morning and you turn on, and I think some people, I don't think they ever turn off their iPhone. You know, it's right. It wakes you up. It has an alarm. And all of a sudden, you know, if you do turn it off, then it starts dinging. You know, ding, 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 ding. And all these messages that came overnight and text messages and all that. And you know what happens is now you're going to go have your quiet time, right? No, you're going to let technology steal your quiet time. In other words, you're going to say, well, what do they want? What's going on here? And the next thing you know, you're answering them, texting back or whatever. And you know what? You haven't even talked to the Lord at all. See, our safe room. God wants us to be there all the time. When's the last time you visited it? I'll tell you that we live in a time when it seems like there's just tragedy after tragedy happening in our land. I like to, you know, if I think that when we pray, God, he somehow always guides us in the right way. Something happens when we're people of prayer, when we start seeking the Lord. It says there in verse 2, it says, I will say of the Lord. In other words, no matter what the rest of the world is saying, I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge. In other words, he's my safe place. He's my shelter from danger. He's my refuge and my fortress. I don't think anybody can penetrate God's fortress. Amen? He's my fortress tonight. My God, in him will I trust. And I think and I say, Lord, that divine protection that we have, it's real. It's really there. The Bible says in Psalm 46:1, our God is our refuge, our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. In verse 3 says, surely, that means we can count on it, okay? Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Do you believe that scripture? Does that mean everything's going to be always perfect in your life? No. In other words, if you're going to be delivered from something, that means it's already there. Amen? But that means that when we're in the midst of whatever we're going through, God says, I'm going to deliver you. Just hold on. Keep trusting in me because surely, surely he shall deliver you from that snare, that trap or whatever it is, from the fowler. You know what a fowler is, don't you? That's a bait layer. That's the devil, okay? Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. It says, well, and from the perilous pestilence. Various diseases, whatnot. Question, what will be the next tragedy in our nation? That's what I'm asking myself. I mean, when I look at all of those events that have occurred just in 10 months, Is it only me that feels a bit overwhelmed and staggered? And I know that there's events happening all over the world. I'm not talking about all over the world. I'm talking about our home, our nation. And I'm going, this is a bit overwhelming. I mean, it just seems like one after another. I mean, it seems like every week that I hear, not Peter Jennings, Brian Williams, that Brian Williams at the end of the, says, now this is how you can give to the Red Cross. Doesn't it seem like that's almost a standard now? Every month we hear that because of the terrible things that are happening and have been happening. And I say to myself, Lord, what's the next tragedy that's going to be in our nation or even the world? And I say, will it be that perilous pestilence? You know what? Pestilence is also something that cannot be seen. Did you know that? Yeah, you don't see it. It just happens. I look at what's happening in Syria, and we look at the supposedly the nerve gas, or that gas, they're gassing certain areas there, supposedly. I'm not saying it's an actual fact yet. I don't know. But I think about that. They didn't even see it. It just happens. I think that when we go to our safe room daily, that we're actually, God is not only leading us and guiding us, God is informing us. Does that make sense? Something happens when we go to our safe room every day. It says, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Man, his truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth will set you free. Jesus said in John 17:17, it says, thy word is truth. If we don't open our Bibles and renew our minds to the Word of God, then there's only one thing left. If we're not being transformed, we're being conformed to the world. Amen? The world's way of thinking. It says in Psalm 119:160, it says, the entirety of your Word is truth. It tells us to have our waist in Ephesians girded with truth. And what are the results of us walking in truth and knowing the truth? Look at verse 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. I cannot imagine what the people of Oklahoma felt when that monster rolled into their town on Monday. I cannot imagine. When I saw the destruction, it was so overwhelming. I mean, my wife sat there on the couch. But I was in a meeting here at the church when it happened. I was totally unaware until I walked into the door that night. I didn't listen to any news on the way home. Didn't even know that it had occurred. And I walked in. My wife is there weeping on the couch. And she said, do you know what's happened? I said, no, I thought there was something wrong with her. You know, I said, what's wrong, honey? You know, and she said, have you not heard what happened in Moore, Oklahoma? And then there it was right on the screen. I couldn't believe it. And I'm just saying, dear God, you know, those poor people, the little children that perished, all those things. And I say, Lord, I want to hold verse 5 in my heart. I don't want to be afraid of the terror that comes upon this world. Amen? The thing, if it happens in the day, if it happens in the night, well, so be it. But that is a promise. It is a promise to us. If we believe the truth, we'll not be afraid. Now, I'm not saying we won't be shaking a little bit, but I'm just telling you we won't be afraid because he's going to make us safe. It says, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. So the darkest day, the brightest day, or whatever it is, God says, I'm with you 24/7. I would to God tonight that somehow our nation that we all love, that somehow tonight America would, and every believer would return to our safe place. Amen? That we would really turn to the Lord, and that our nation would really turn to the Lord and seek the Lord. It says that 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but you shall not come near you. The Lord is with us. May I say to you, even if death is our agenda, and one day it will be, unless we're all raptured out of here, you know what? We're going to enter His presence. Amen? It says, and only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. And because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, here it is, your home, your safe place, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor any plague come nigh your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. Do you believe that? It says, and in his hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall also tread upon the lion and the cobra and the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. You remember the devil, you know, he quotes scripture too, don't you? You know, the devil quoted that to Jesus there in Luke chapter 4 and 10. He used part of this, you know, but as usual, he, he always misinterprets and misquotes the truth of God. And he left out the part there where it says, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra and the serpent you'll trample underfoot. He didn't quote that to Jesus there in the temptation scene, did he? No. But we have angels, and look at that. It's not angels singular. It's angels plural. Let me ask you a question. Would you say that one angel is stronger than all the armies of the earth combined? Absolutely. And we have angels plural. You know what that tells me? It tells me that really the truth is that each of us, we're immortal until God says it's time to come home. Amen? Until we're finished with our work for Him. The psalmist said, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Look at verse 14 now. It says, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He's known my name. He shall call. That means He's going to pray. He shall call upon me. And look what God says. I will answer Him. I will be with Him when? In trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him, and with long life I'll satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. Listen, let us not neglect our safe room. Let us be a people that really, really pray. And let me say something about prayer. Prayer is not easy. Prayer is work, isn't it? Come on. But here's what happens. If when we allow prayer to be a spiritual discipline, and we, in other words, we pray in the morning or whenever your quiet time is, no matter what we do, we just say, I'm going to have a quiet time. I'm going to pray. It may be just so difficult, so hard. There's so much noise. The kids woke up early. The TV is on in the other room or the phone's already ringing. Usually that's what happens when you pray anyway. But you have a place. You have a safe place. You have a safe room. And you go in, and that safe room, of course, is the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. And you go in and you say, I'm going to pray. And when we do it as a spiritual discipline, here's what happens. It finally, prayer then becomes a delight. Because, see, prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue. It's where the Holy Spirit is helping you pray. That's true prayer is when you pray in the Spirit. Amen? Now, listen, He helps us in our weakness to pray. But the fact is that the more we start praying, we do it no matter what. Not mechanical praying. It doesn't matter how long you pray. It's that you have a quality prayer time. It's not that I prayed for an hour today, but I don't know if anything was accomplished. You pray. You know, the shortest prayer in the Bible, Lord, save me. Remember Peter? And immediately the Lord's hand went out and pulled him up, because he was sinking because he looked at the storm and so forth. Listen, God hears our prayers. It's not the length, but the quality, the sincerity of the heart. There's something happens when we truly start seeking God and we push this world out of our way. We don't let things stop us from praying. We reach out to the Lord and we're not neglectful of our safe room, nor do we take the Holy of Holies and our time with the Lord for granted. You know what? Maybe the reason for so much heartache sometimes in our lives is that we spend so little time in our safe room. I find, and I'm talking about prayer, I find that the more time I spend in prayer, quality prayer, the Bible says, of course, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean to be in prayer 24/7. It just means to be praying throughout the day. Amen? But the more time you spend in prayer, the greater peace you have in your life. There's just something about it. And also, you start your day out that way. You've been to your safe room. You talked to the Lord, and now the Holy Spirit is talking to you. I'll never forget that time that Thomas, we always pray all the time, every morning. I mean, the whole family, we pray about everything. And I remember we were driving in a car, my pickup truck one day, and early in the morning, and we were went to a place and had some, it doesn't matter, went to eat, and then we were driving home. Well, their mom's, Becky, mom's in the middle, I'm driving in the truck, and it's just a one-seater, and Thomas is over here in the passenger side. And we prayed that day, and we prayed for protection, Lord. We prayed, guide every step, wherever we go, be there with us. Well, immediately, Thomas just bowed his head and laid down toward the floor. And I said, son, what are you doing? And immediately a bullet went right through the side of our car, blew out the side glass and went right through. And I said, how did you know? He said, I heard the voice of the Lord. We prayed today. And we pulled up, went to the police immediately. There was a person in the apartment complex that shot right through. There's something to be said about going to your safe room daily. I mean, that could have been, you know, because here's what happens. You start hearing the voice of the Lord. See, that's what you really want, is to hear the voice of the Lord. Amen? And the more you're in your safe room, the more that you're praying. And I know that, again, that prayer is hard. It's not something that just automatically happens. We have to deny our flesh. And we just have to say, Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to press in. I'm going to find you. And here I am. And yes, you're going to cleanse me from all of my sin. Thank God, Lord, you're going to start my day out right. You're here. I'm going to get instructions. And I'm going to hear your voice and be led by your presence. You lay out and pour out your heart to the Lord. And he tells you things, maybe sometimes things to come. There's something about going to your safe room every day. We should never, never, never neglect it. You know, verse 15 that I just said, read there in Psalm 91, you know, it says, if we call, if we will be a people of prayer, if we will do that, God will answer. And he says, he promised us. Now listen, he promised that he would be with us in time of trouble. That's why it is so important, because I'm going to tell you, there's the things that lie ahead in our, maybe if the Lord tarries another 10 years, what's going to be coming our way? There are certain things coming in our life every day. Amen. Some good, some bad. But the thing is that the day of trouble, I want God to be my safe room. I want to hear him. And the only way to do that is by calling upon him, by praying and being a man, woman of prayer. Now, with that being said, let's look at our safe room very quickly and turn in the New Testament to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, the first book of the Bible there, New Testament rather. And let's look at verse 5. No, let's just go to verse 6. Now, let's talk about private prayer here. Verse 6. Jesus is speaking, and look what he says. He says, but you, when you what? When you pray. He tells us to go someplace. He says, go into your room. That's what I mean about having a safe place in your house. I call it an altar, where we go and say, "This." I pray in the same place all the time. I have two places. I have my study in my bedroom. That's where I have a little desk there. That's where I pray every morning. And then when I'm alone and there's no one in the house, I go to my lazy boy, okay? That doesn't mean I'm lazy in prayer. It's just I've been in prayer. I've prayed in that chair for, you know, it's been in my house for 30 years. You know what I'm saying? I just like that little area. I think God likes it too. And not that he likes lazy boys, but never mind. But the thing is that go into your room. In other words, that special place that you have every day, go into your room when you pray. And when you shut the door, in other words, find a private place to pray every morning or whenever your prayer time is. And look what he says. Jesus said, and pray to your Father who is in the what? The secret place. Well, we know where the secret place is. It's the Holy of Holies. It's the throne room of God. Because we just found that in Psalm 91. And who's in the secret place? And your Father who sees in secret, look what he's going to do, will reward you openly. But here's the thing. You're not going to be rewarded openly. You go to the Lord in secret. You're all alone in private prayer. But God's not going to reward me or reward you openly unless we start praying. Amen? That's where, listen, prayer is God's idea. It's not man's idea. It's God's idea, meaning he wants communion with you, fellowship with you, fellowship with me, intimacy with me, and the absence of God in your prayers. If he's not there, that's not praying. He says, God's there. He's in that secret place. And you see that word room there that Jesus said? He says, go into your room, that safe place. Now listen, that room is a supernatural room. When I believe that you're wherever you pray at, it could be at your supper table, it could be out, you might go outside to pray, you may go on your walk and pray, but wherever your safe place is, wherever the place you've designated for your time of prayer, here's the thing I want you to see, that room, wherever it is a supernatural place. It is a supernatural place because the word room there means this. It means secret chamber. It means storehouse. It means a place that's literally filled with treasure. It is our safe place. God is saying this in that special room, that safe room that you have. God is saying this: treasures are available to Christians who truly seek the Father, who regularly pray to Him. And beyond a shadow of a doubt, this private place to me is a safe place. And you know, when we start thinking about the treasures that are there in our time of prayer, remember what it says about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says in Colossians 2:3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How many people need wisdom today? I need wisdom every day. Are you faced with decisions and difficulties? Do I go to the right? Do I go to the left? What do I do about this problem? Listen, I find that prayer is the place of great, great treasure and great, great provision. Not that I'm some great prayer warrior. I struggle in prayer just like all of you do. I don't have any inroad with God. I'm right there with you. I have to fight in prayer sometimes. I have to wrestle in prayer sometimes. Sometimes I feel like God couldn't even hear my prayer. I said, where are you? But I don't go by what I feel. Amen. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. God says, pray. God hears. I have to look at the Word of God and says, I believe the Word of God over the way I feel about this situation. And so I look at it and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. Jesus, you know, all the treasures, all the wisdom is right there. When you go to your safe place, listen, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, He is the greatest source of wisdom and knowledge in all the universe. Amen. All the universe. He knows everything about everything. Why would we go to the world for help? Amen? Jesus knows everything we need to do. And look at what it says there. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Openly. Reward you. Our Father knows where the next tragedy is going to be. A person, we were talking, it was a pastor, we were talking about our prayer life. And, you know, iron sharpening iron. And he said, I said, you know, in the morning when I come to the church office, I pray. I said, now, Lord, do you want me to take 820 or do you want me to take Interstate 30? And the other pastor said, Bill, are you serious? He said, God doesn't care which one you take. I said, are you a pastor? I said, God cares about everything I do. And I said, not only that, I said, He knows the traffic situation better than anybody else, okay? I mean, I guarantee you, every woman in this place, I promise you that when you've pulled into Kroger or Target or Walmart or wherever, you say, Lord, please give me that great parking place. You know what I mean? You know, Lord, do you want me to take Interstate 30? Then sometimes it's a struggle. It's like, I'm right there, and there's the why. So I don't know. When you're at a crossroads, choose the cross. Amen? So the Lord, He cares about everything that we do. He knows all the secrets. It says that He said, who sees in secret. God knows everything about you. He knows everything that you're going through, your children are going through, your marriage is going through, your singleness or your sickness. He knows everything that you're facing. He sees in secret. He sees everyone as an individual tonight. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me, and He loves every one of us. Amen? And I look at it and I say, oh, Lord, He will reward you. He knows the plans of our enemies. He knows the path we need to take. He knows the secret things. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Daniel 2:22, He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness. I don't. He knows what's in the darkness. He knows, it says, where light, it says light dwells with Him. Daniel 2:28, but there is a God, he was speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel said, there's a God in heaven who reveals secrets. Amos the prophet in Amos 3:7 said this, surely the Lord God does nothing. Oh, to go to a safe place, that special place where you pray. It says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals it, or reveals His secret, or reveals His purposes to His servants, the prophets. Listen, that verse right there was speaking of the judgment that was coming upon the children of Israel. God has always warned when He's about to bring judgment. Amen? You study your Bibles. When judgment is coming, he always gives a warning. How about the times of Noah? He gave a warning. The time God warned Abraham about the coming judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. He warned Joseph there in Egypt about the 7 years of famine and the 7 years and so forth of not gathering up and so forth. And God has warned Israel over and over in the Old Testament about the judgment if they didn't change their ways. And God told the children of Israel in the New Testament, Jesus warned him, said, listen, not one stone is going to be left upon the other. They didn't believe him. And God, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, has warned us as well. He told us, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man. He told us to watch. He told us to be ready. Amen. It says in 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and be watchful in your prayers. Our safe place. Our safe place. That one gentleman that came out of his storm cellar, that safe place that he had there in Oklahoma, and he was filming it, as he came out the destruction, and his words were, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, now I'm not saying that the Lord did that. I'm not saying that at all. I don't know why things happen in this world. You know, Job said that the day of man's day upon this earth are few and they're full of trouble. I agree with that. But I tell you, I know where we can go to when in the day of trouble. And if we have a safe place, if we'll be that people of prayer, I think God will reveal things to us. God loves us. He warns us. There are days that when you just know you shouldn't do certain things. And you have that feeling, you don't question, you say, you know, I'm just going to go with that inner witness in my heart. I have a peace about not doing that. It sounds silly, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because I don't have a peace in me. The Bible says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The word rule means umpire, call the shots. Go to first base, go to second. No, you're out. You're safe, whatever. That's what God wants us to do. It says, and when you pray, look what Jesus says not to do. He says, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think they'll be heard for their many words. In other words, meaningless repetitions and so forth. And that's the pagans' idea of worship. Remember the children, the prophets of Baal and all of that. And he says here, he's not telling us not to say things sometimes over and over. You know, Paul prayed, three times for this thorn to be taken out of his flesh and so forth and be removed. And Jesus prayed himself three times in the garden for this cup to pass away from him. He says, but not my will, but your will be done. But he's talking about things here that are just pagan, just over and over the same thing. And he says, therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you really believe that scripture? Boy, I tell you, we're good at asking God for things, aren't we? I mean, come on, that's usually the number one thing we do when we go to the Lord in prayer. Let me ask you a question. Tonight, tomorrow, whenever your time of prayer is, do yourself a favor and don't start your prayer time by asking God. Start your prayer time by telling God that you love him. You know, I think there's something about a father. He loves to hear his children say, I love you. Amen? Isn't that the truth? There's something about that. And we just rush in. He loves us. He understands. He's not. But there's something about just going to him and just saying, Lord, I love you today. I honor you today. I worship you today. Before you ever ask him anything at all. You'll see that in just a moment. But Jesus said, you know, your father, he knows the things that you need even before you ask. So this tells me something. The purpose of prayer is not to inform God. I mean, I'm good at that. But the purpose of prayer, it's not to inform God. The purpose of prayer is not to try to persuade God of our need. And this means something else. It means that since that's the case, you don't have to be anxious about your prayer. You don't have to be torn apart and striving. You go to your safe place. It's a supernatural place. It's a holy place. When you sit in your chair, wherever you're at, it becomes a holy place because God draws near to those who call upon his name. He's right there, even though he's everywhere. But listen, when you pray, he's right there. Are you listening to me? He's right there. It's just like if I'm looking at Harley and I can see Harley and I'm having a conversation with Harley and I see him. He's right there. It is crazy to have a conversation with someone who's not in the same room. Amen? God is right there. He's right there with you in that safe place that you have. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:12, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers." We have a safe place that we can go to at all times, 24/7. One more scripture, or maybe 100, I don't know. 1 Timothy 2:8, he writes and he says this, "I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere." Isn't that wonderful? We can pray everywhere. You know what I love to do? Because we're, you know, when I visit the schools, when I have the opportunity to visit the schools, you know, LNFI, the charity. Well, you know, we're not allowed to pray in school. So, but I just quote that scripture myself. You know, I want men to pray everywhere. So I hear I'm going down the hallway, and they don't know I'm praying, of course. And I just start praying, you know. And I'm going, "Oh, Lord, isn't it great to break the law?" You know, whatever, you know. That men pray everywhere. And here it is, lifting up holy hands without wrath. You know, angry people don't pray, okay? Without wrath, and here it is, and doubting. That's the way the early church prayed. You see, they prayed with raised hands. You know why? Because to raise your hands in prayer, it means that they, like us, they were expecting God to put what they were praying for in their hands. Do you understand? When you're lifting up your hands and surrendering, you say, "Lord, I believe. I believe this is your will." You know, the Bible's very clear. It says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him." The Bible says that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, then we know that whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. "Lord, I'm lifting up my hands." Do you do that in your prayer time? Just say, "Lord, fill my hands. Here's just my request." Listen, there is something supernatural about having a safe place in your home. And you go to it every day. And you know what? It doesn't cost $6,000 to have one. You understand? You know, they don't have to dig down in the concrete or in your backyard and put a shelter. You know, it would be wonderful if we all had those kind of things. But I'm talking about a safe place, a place where the God of all the universe who loves you, who sent His Son to die for you, says, "I want to meet you there. I want to meet you in the safe place," a supernatural meeting. God says, "I want to speak to you. I want to guide you. I want to lead you. I want to tell you about things to come. I want to answer the situation, the things that you're facing. I want to answer you. I want to give you the answer that you need." That's what God wants to do. God is so good to us. It says that we should lift up our hands, holy hands, without wrath and without doubting. The worst thing we can do is come to God and doubt that He hears us, doubt that He cares about us, and doubt that He cannot take care of the problems that we're facing in this life. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible, not difficult. It's impossible. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a what? Rewarder. You're in your safe place. Lord, I know, I believe your word. I believe, here's the circumstance. You've already praised Him, whatever you need to do. And there you are, and you say, "Lord, here it is. And I believe. I believe." And you are a rewarder of all those who do something. Diligently, you go after it. Diligently seek Him. Amen? That's what prayer does. We have a safe room. You know what William Booth said? Listen to this as I close tonight. It says, William Booth said, "God loves with a great love the person whose heart is bursting with a passion for the impossible." Why should we settle for anything less than the impossible? Because we have the God of the impossible. Amen? There is nothing too hard, too difficult. Those words are not in His vocabulary. They'll never be in His vocabulary. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. Nothing is impossible with Jesus. Don't ever let your situation, the thing that you're facing, no matter what it is, don't let it be bigger than Jesus Christ. Amen. Sue Ellen, you'll tell them that. Amen. You'll tell them that nothing is bigger than Jesus. Amen. Because you're out of the hospital and that's no cancer is in your body at all in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, nothing is bigger than God. Nothing. We've got to be a people that believe that. Listen, 10 months of events that I just read to you, I started off with. 10 months. I've never seen those kind of happenings ever. I'm not trying to be fearful of that, but I'm going, what is happening? What is happening? Why are they happening? I tell you, I want to know, don't you? And the only way that we can feel secure in our true walk now is that we have prayer. We go to the Lord in prayer. We take it to the Lord every day. I encourage you and I beseech you, I beg you, if you don't have a safe place in your home, tonight you go find that safe place. And you put your Bible there or you keep it on the nightstand, and an open Bible is the best way to, an open Bible will never be neglected. Amen? And you pick that Bible up, and when you wake up in the morning, and wherever you left off, you take it right to that little chair, that table, the couch, wherever it is, a closet. So I know people that actually do have a prayer closet, and they go in there and pray. Listen. You seek the Lord, you'll find Him in the morning. You'll find Him. If you'll seek Him, He promises, those who seek me will find me. Those who seek me early will find me. God wants to be found by you. He wants to be found by you now. He has things He wants to tell you. Things He needs to tell you. Things you need to hear. Father, we thank You tonight. As we lift up again the state of Oklahoma, Lord God, I pray that somehow, some way, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that You are surrounding those people, those mothers, those fathers, grandfathers that are staggering, that were staggering through the streets, and with they don't even know what street they live on anymore because the signs are gone. And everything is like a jungle, a debris field, a war zone. I don't know how we make sense of this, Lord. Or any tragedy, whether it's in Iraq or Afghanistan or China or anywhere in the world. But Lord, this is in our own backyard. It's close to home. We lift them up to You, Lord, to that beautiful throne of grace where they can find help and mercy in time of need. And as You promised, and obtain it. Lord, make Calvary Chapel, this place, Your safe room. May You feel the liberty to move in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God anytime You choose. May You reach out and touch Your sheep and bring healing. Touch our little ones, Lord. The devil's, oh, how he tries to destroy the young. Father, help us. Let Your healing flow through those that are ill tonight. Let us practice, Lord, the discipline of prayer. By Your power, not ours, not in the energy of the flesh, but in the power and the energy of another, the Holy Spirit. And may we do it by the incredible grace of God, the everlasting grace of God that You've bestowed upon us. Touch Your people. Lord, let us be men and women of prayer. And may we be passionate about it. Like Jesus said, Lord, I pray that men ought not to faint, but pray always and never faint, never give up. Let us be a people that are persistent in prayer, passionate about prayer. We just praise You now. We can't wait, Lord, to be in our safe room. We can't wait to find You. We can't wait to hear Your voice. We magnify You tonight. We love You tonight. Oh, we praise You tonight, and we lift up holy hands as we pray, Father, and we say, fill them. You know our need. We lift them expecting You to give us the answer to our petition. That's why, Lord, You went on to say that our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, O Father, we praise You. We praise you. We honor you. All the names, all of your names, El Shaddai. All the names, Lord, we honor who you are, but we magnify that one we love so dearly, and that is we call you Father, our Father in heaven. Lord, we pray tonight that your kingdom come and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're in agreement with you, the church in heaven in agreement. Oh God, we pray for that tonight. And we pray, Father, that you would give us this day our daily bread. Not our monthly bread, but our daily bread. Oh, Lord, you are our bread. We pray, oh, Father, you are the one who told us to pray for our needs. There it is. We need our daily bread. And, Father, forgive us of our debts as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation. Oh, Father, thank you for that. We pray not to be tempted tonight. We pray not to be tempted tomorrow. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. And we all say, amen.